Today on Talk About That, John has a run-in with a sea lion and searches for a less political pillow company. Meanwhile, I'm a proud member of the Clean Plate Club, and I'm relieved when John cuts his sermon short. Also, a conversation on post-Christianity and whether self-actualization is really its own religion in many ways. Today's episode is not sponsored by meetings. Do you have too much time in your day? Want to hang out with coworkers around a table for hours while accomplishing very little? Try meetings. Let's go.
It's another Monday, Johnny. Another Talk About That.
We are out here. We back.
Man, we are here. It's been a long week since the last time that
Don't talk to me about long week. You went on a boat.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying a lot's happened. A lot's happened since then. So
that's not how you say it. People don't say long week when they had a good week, though.
You have a long good week.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
See, I think that speaks to the way that humanity sees the world outside of the goodness
of God. If you saw somebody in the store and then you go, how are things? They go, it's been a long week. Oh, where'd you go? I was on a ship. We went, it was an all-inclusive boat ride to the Bahamas. Awesome. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah, but it was long. Like, I mean,
I think what I meant was it's been eventful. How about that?
Your privilege is showing, bro, because I can't. No, you're fine.
Well, you're a big cruiser, too. So
I've done two.
Didn't you do comedy on a cruise once?
I did comedy on a cruise, a Lifeway cruise to Alaska.
Oh.
That was like a big one because when you start comedy, it's like you do a lot of like, hey, sweetie, you want to ride with me to Columbia, Tennessee? I'm going to do comedy in a bowling alley. And if I win, we get $100. Like you, it's a contest. I did that one time. There was a bar attached to a bowling alley and it was an open mic and the winner gets $100. And I did not win. And you know what? No one won because we gave our night to Columbia, Tennessee bowling alley. But anyway, so when you get to the point in your career where you can go, they're going to pay me.
Yeah.
And we get to go 7 nights to Alaska
on a
boat. That's a cool thing. The other one we did was like I wasn't doing comedy on it. It was like a carnival, very 80s. There was a lot of neon and crushed velvet on that ship. I don't think it had been updated in a while.
I think that's the same boat we went on our 15th.
Yeah, there was a lot of conga lines and watered-down drinks. I mean, I don't drink, but it was just very – there was a lot of people complaining about the alcohol there. I remember that.
Oh.
About the quality of the alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah, because did I tell you the story when I was on a cruise ship? We decided to take a carnival our 15th and
– can't hide money because – of course, they're begging people to go now. It's like, listen, just get on the boat. You won't get COVID, we swear.
I got to say, listen, my travel agent helped me secure a second room.
Yeah.
For only like $300.
Wow.
It was adjoining with an adjoining balcony.
Who's your travel agent, John?
That'd be Jeffrey Holland with Travelmation.
Oh.
I tell you guys, for all of your travel needs.
I would say not a sponsor, but he technically is a sponsor because he's helped us so much that.
Right.
It's almost a paid sponsorship.
He is producing this right now.
He's the best person we know.
But he's a great travel agent as well.
Absolutely.
And so
everybody got a side hustle now, y'all.
Man, don't
you got
we,
to,
though.
In these streets.
It's hard out here. I was telling Sadie the other day the story of our kid in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Out in the rural areas of Knoxville.
Straw Plains.
Who believed he was, and not that there's not gangs and stuff in Knoxville. I'm not trying to besmirch, you know.
He was not in a gang.
The urban culture of Knoxville.
But this was a 5'3" white kid.
He had a true belief
that
he was like, whatever rap songs he was listening to, he had a true belief that he was in that scene.
Yeah.
And so he walked in one night, remember, and he was like, dude, man, it's hot out here in the East Coast.
Yeah.
And we were like, you don't live on the East Coast.
Yeah. You live in Straw Plains, Tennessee.
Like right near the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
Like you are, it's hot out here in Appalachia.
It is.
That's where you live. But yes, it was a fun trip.
Yes.
And I'm really glad that we went. And that cruise ship, by the way, my 15th, when I went on, I had this flashback. I was sitting in this theater with Laura one day, and I had this flashback to my junior year of high school. We took a junior class cruise, and it was the same ship. Like, I was like, I've been here before.
Oh, wow.
And I suddenly recognized.
And they had not updated it.
I had not updated anything.
Same carpet.
And it had been like 20
years.
I
left that stain. I threw up there.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. So we did Bahamas.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Johnny. The coolest thing, we wanted to swim with the dolphins. And that was all, it was one of the excursions.
Yeah.
And they were
that means they add things to it. You go, hey, look at this. For all this one price, you can do all this. Now, if you want to do something cool, $5,000 more. How do you feel?
Now, if you want a cup.
Who's a good dad?
If you want a cup to put that drink in,
yeah.
then it's going to cost you.
Yeah. Right. The drinks are free, but the cups are $10 each.
So we got off and went to what was called Blue Lagoon Island.
Okay.
And it was amazing. I mean, like the true blue and green water. I mean, the whole thing.
So it's clothing optional. And, I've seen the movie.
Bro, let me tell you something. I am
burned. It's weird
because
your family was all together.
I am badly burned. Anyway, we went in and we wanted to do the swim with the dolphin thing.
Yeah.
And they were all sold out. And so,
the dolphins go.
Dolphins are like,
enough.
We're done. That's all I'm.
We're not taking
anymore. They're very smart, Johnny. Everyone says it. They keep budgets.
Somebody tries to cut line. Not so fast.
That's dolphin for not so fast.
Yeah.
The noise the dolphins did make. I mean, it sounded like I thought a child was either screaming
in peril
or in anger from the other side, because it's all in the same spot. But we then settled for, quote unquote, swimming with sea lions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know you swam with them. I've seen the photos that you posed with the sea lion.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Sea lions superior to dolphins.
Yeah.
Like
more personality.
Well, so I learned a lot. So the difference between a sea lion and a seal, so they're cousins. Seals, and they taught the sea lion, by the way, how to show us what the seal does. This is how well the sea lions could be trained. They're like dogs.
Yeah.
They have the flippers, but they can stand up on them.
Yeah, yeah.
On the front, so they can walk around on all fours. So they would climb up on this. You saw the picture. They'd climb up on this platform and let you sit down in front of
them.
They
kiss you on the face.
And they would say, all right, give him a hug. And he takes his flappers and gives you a hug.
Oh.
And they say, all right, go all, and he put his head like on your head,
yes.
or his chin on your head. All right, stick out your tongue for the picture. Okay, give him a kiss. Gives you a kiss right on the cheek. Okay, clap. Like she, her name was Bonnie. Bonnie had like 100 different trained tricks she could do.
They give her fish every time.
Not every time, but in between. Yeah.
She knows the fish is coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And they gave me one too.
You know,
it was neat. It was great. So.
That's great. It's very handy.
But it was like, now, they did say, if you meet a sea lion in the wild, don't come anywhere near them. They will catch you on land and sea. Like, don't. Like, they'll bite your fingers off, and they're super. But this one's born into captivity.
Wouldn't
that a preach, won't it, Johnny?
So, yes, so this would have been trained.
Yeah.
So, your defenses go down. You're like, look, it's just like the one we saw on the boat. And like a barracuda just takes
it really is.
Good
don't
grief.
Like, if you see a dolphin in the wild, you're probably fine.
Oh, man.
If you see a sea lion. Now, I didn't know sea lions. I mean, this is probably speaking to my ignorance.
Well, lions in the name.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
These things are lions of the sea. That's different than chicken of the sea. That's
I feel that they chose the wrong animal to call the lion of the sea. Because have you seen one?
Yeah.
They're all smooth.
They look like little Labradors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have little ear flaps. So that's one thing. Seals don't have that. They have just like holes. The seals don't have the front flippers.
We're learning so much today.
So the seals have to push themselves. You know, they just kind of push themselves with their back flippers, and they slide. And so they taught the sea lion how to show you how a seal does it. So you
I saw your wife and daughter yesterday when we came to church, and I was like, how was the ship? And Curry and Laura goes, so good, so good. And immediately Sadie goes, the sea lion farted in my dad's face. She could not wait to tell me that the sea lion farted on
you. She also told me your reaction was less than, like, you didn't find it super funny. She's like, you know, Uncle Johnny was just kind of like, oh, what did you say? You said something like.
Like I said, like, that sounds about right.
Right, or something like, well, that happens or something, you know. I think she's wanting you to be like, oh, my gosh.
They do
bravo.
That.
Yeah. She wants you to clap like a sea lion.
And then she gives me a fish.
Right.
I'm sorry, Sadie. I'm sorry. It was early. Church is early for me. I got up.
Yeah.
I got up at 9. I was at church at 10. I wasn't in the zone, Sadie. I apologize.
I think
it's a great story. Well, you could tell she was sitting on that. So she was like, I'm telling everybody I see today that a sea lion farted in my
and
head.
And it did. So well, you get down on this platform in the water, and the sea lion.
Was that part of the tricks? Was it like, now, release? Like they just, and then another fish.
Well, they have toenails.
Okay.
That look like human toenails.
All right.
That's another difference between them and seals.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they'll tell Bonnie, and she'll turn around back up to you where you can, like, see her flippers and toenails and stuff.
Yeah.
And so while we're doing that, it was a Sadie. I mean, it was classic. I mean, of course, the trainer's real funny. She's like, well, you were touching her butt, so I don't know what you want. You know, like, it was a – like, and then at the end, she comes up and hugs you. Like, she stands on the platform and hugs
you. And
you're
like, not now.
No. She wouldn't. I was the first one in line. She wouldn't hug me. Like – She kept saying this. She's like, Bonnie has attitude, guys. So sometimes she'd tell her to do something, and she would just sit there and look at her.
She's sassy. She's a teenager.
Yeah, it was very much that. And so she was supposed to hug me as the first one in line, and like it took her like four tries, and she wouldn't do it. I was like, you know, I was like, this is just like high school all over again, is what I said. And they all got a good laugh. And I was the belle of the ball.
You were. That's great. You know, I was watching last week's episode to make the intro with Dave Barnes, who that was fantastic. It was great having them, Dave and John.
Yeah.
And too many Johns.
There's a lot of Johns.
Too many Johns. But three Johns and a Dave. That's our new sitcom. But one thing I wanted to say was that I said something like Dadaville, and then I said, because I know we have people who correct our show. I said that I tried going on, I couldn't get on Dadville, but I went on Dadaville, and it's a philosophy podcast. Dada is an art. It's a form of art. It's surrealist art. It's not philosophy. So just in case someone wants to listen to that episode and try to correct me, I realize now that Dadaism is a surrealist kind of art, not philosophy.
I think you may be giving our listenership a little too much credit.
You're right.
Right now.
You're
right. Because if they listen to us, the odds of them really...
Well, I just think that episode may be listened to by more people than our normal listenership because it's got them on it. And then they're going to be like, these guys don't even know what Dada is.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, their listenership is probably very similar to ours.
Are you saying our listeners are dumb, John?
Johnny, I'm saying we're dumb.
I'm saying we shouldn't have to say
so
it.
If they... Since we're dumb and they listen to us...
Yeah.
What does it say about them?
I don't know.
Also, be a patron.
Yeah. But anyway.
You can support our dumb
show. So while you were on a boat, I was grinding in the clubs, bro. I did club shows. I did five club shows this last weekend.
Wow.
With that Indian comic, Veer Das.
Yeah.
That I was telling you about.
How was he?
He was fantastic. And a sweetheart of a guy. Just a great guy.
Yeah.
It's amazing because when you think about it, he's super famous where he lives, and he's trying to, like, cut his teeth in the States. He's got a good following here, too, really good. But he's just, like, talking about going to the comedy store and going to the Comedy Cellar in New York, and just, like, you have to get past there. Like, they have to tell you that you're a real boy, basically, and that you can get regular spots there. You have to audition. So it's like you show up there. He goes, you show up there, you got 8 million Twitter followers. They don't care. They're just like, let's see what you got, and you do a five-minute set.
Wow.
And so he was just talking about it like, this is what you do. I want to be with the best. The American comics are the best comedians, and I want to. So it's just cool to see that he wasn't like, do you know who I am in India? Like, he was super cool and really funny. But it was interesting because his audiences were like, that these shows were like 80% Indian Americans. So it was like they were either here for, they came here to college, and they got tech jobs and stayed or engineering jobs. And, I mean, it's really fascinating. And so I was kind of – this is one of the reasons I wanted to do it, because I was like, I'm interested to see if my stuff translates.
Yeah.
You know. And culturally, it was so funny to watch. Like, I did well. All the shows went really well, thank goodness. I was really relieved. But it was interesting to watch him get these gigantic laughs on this stuff that was very inside. It was almost like when I do comedy with church comics.
Right, church.
And they have very inside baseball kind of church stuff that only really deeply entrenched church people would understand, which I have very few of those jokes in my show for a reason, because I don't want to be that guy. But this was, like, fascinating. Like, he had this one joke about – because he did a speech at the Kennedy Center called The Two Indias. So he's kind of political in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, his act was not political. But he has been outspoken on some things. And he got, like, branded a seditionist. He's, like, lawsuits against him.
Wow.
So he's, like, a little bit of an edgy, you know, as far as a personality. He strikes a weird figure in his home country. So he said, they called me a soft terrorist on like 9 news networks.
Oh, wow.
He goes, the BBC said I divided a nation. And he goes, I divided a nation? Because, you know, there's total imperialism and everything.
Right.
He goes, let me tell you something. And then he dropped a MF. But then he said, let me tell you something. When I finished my performance, they went to the lobby. When you finished your performance, we went to Pakistan. I was like, wow. And the crowd lost their mind.
Wow.
It was just so interesting to see, like, the different styles. And but he was really fascinating and such a cool guy and really funny. And, yeah, it was a great weekend. So I did those shows. And then I did a show for Dry Bar Tuesday at Zany's. And it was a full house. Really cool. And I got to meet the president of Dry Bar. Which,
nice.
Yeah.
Mr. Bar.
Mr. Bar.
Yeah.
And it looks like I'm going to get to shoot another Dry Bar taping.
All right, man.
So, yeah, in April. So that's exciting. Out in Provo. Provo, Utah.
Yeah.
At Dry Bar Studios.
Wow.
So that'll mean more content, more great content for you, the fine listeners and viewers.
Well, your last one was top 10 for last year.
Guys, I don't even know how we can. I mean, how do you get any better than that?
I mean, top five, maybe. It's top. I'm very proud of you.
Why do you
got to
do this?
I'm very proud
every
of
time you.
You
do this. But then I did a thing in, I was at Opryland Hotel for the NRB. I did a dry bar thing there.
Yeah.
And so that was, I did that as like, hey, I'll do this for the dry bar people. Because mm-hmm. it was really like, the NRB was just like not my exactly my cup of tea. But it was great. Everybody was sweet to me there. It was fun. But it reminded me, I was walking by, and because I was walking, I parked in the non-paid at the mall.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And just walked the mile to get to the hotel because I'm like, I'm not paying $25 to park here. And so, and I'd live to regret it because it's freezing and drizzling and whatever. So I was like, ugh. But I walked by the place where they do the ice, you know, every, have you ever taken Sadie to that? You guys go?
My dad used to take the kids, the grandkids to that,
So it reminded me of like, so when we... The kids sometimes come, my nieces come in sometimes for Christmas the week after. And so the week between Christmas and New Year's, I was like, oh, this is great. And they had just started fostering Nettie, my niece, who's now five.
Yeah.
But she was basically a newborn. She was like a month or two old. And they're still doing that weird swaddling thing where that she's strapped to you, you know what I'm saying? They got that thing that just, she's just on there all the time. And I go, well, there's this thing. Because Hayden, my niece, was like 10 or 11 at the time. And I was like, we could all go to this thing, this ice thing, and I got us tickets and blah, 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 and it's great, and I was just trying to be the good uncle. And then we get in there. I didn't realize it's like 20 below because they have to keep – you're in a freezer.
Yeah.
I took a newborn as an uncle into a freezer.
Yeah.
And
that's not a good –
we're putting on these parkas, and she's like underneath. They're putting these wrapping.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
You know, she Tara, my sister-in-law, she's wrapping the – and she's just kind of, this is fine. I'm just like, we're this baby's going to get hypothermia, and I'm the worst uncle ever.
You don't care.
Because I wanted to show him the Grinch in ice form. But it is, it's a deep freezer. Well, I mean, it makes sense, but it's like, you're taking kids into the freezer.
You should have thought
take better care of your kids.
Like, when did you first realize that your whole way of thinking is sadistic and like that you don't care about children?
Right now.
This is it. This is the moment it happened. This began Johnny's life of an insidious crime.
This intervention. That's fine. I don't know.
Anyway, it's been coming a long time.
It has. So it's time for us to talk about the falls.
Yeah, and we're going to actually put a button on here.
Like a warning.
Yeah, whenever we talk about sports, because our good friend Roy, who doesn't do sports at all.
Yeah.
Anytime on staff we talk about sports at all, he always says, oh, we're talking about sport ball.
Sport ball.
So we're going to make a sport ball, you know, like a warning kind of thing. So if you're listening, what we aim to do is to make sports accessible. You know, like if you don't like it,
there's
you're
not enough access to sports. Is that what you're saying?
Like, no, you're, it's like, you know what? I didn't like sports before, but after listening to Johnny and John.
Your nuanced opinions.
Yeah.
Which we do have a different take on things sometimes because you are.
Oh, here we go.
A very. What I would call myopic balls.
Wow.
You think that the world is out to get us.
No,
and that
you,
nobody.
You are a devil's advocate because yesterday.
I'm not just being a contrarian, though. I really knew that we were going to. Everybody in the whole thing said the Vols are probably going to get a 3 seed and they're going to be upset.
Everything I heard was 2.
No.
Here's
Lenardi thing. Was saying it right after we won the SEC championship. He goes, they're still going to be on the 3 line.
You. We're agreeing with me yesterday.
The Vols got a 3 seed yesterday.
You were agreeing with me yesterday.
Even after winning the SEC championship.
They won. Okay, let's stop there because I hate that the biggest event in Tennessee basketball probably in 40 years is eclipsed now by their seeding the same – because Selection Sunday happens the same night as the championship game.
Right.
The University of Tennessee Volunteers men's basketball team
won
the SEC tournament, which they have not done since 1979.
It was amazing. It was great.
I was 4 months old, Johnny.
Yeah.
Whenever we won this the last
coincidence?
Time. Maybe. So someone asked me if I remembered. I was like, absolutely, I remembered. And so that means Allen Houston, I mean, a Hall of Famer.
Chris Lofton, all those great
Chris
Pearl
Lofton,
teams.
Chris Lofton, all the way through the Pearl teams with the Smiths and everyone.
Yeah.
Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. I mean, like, we had some amazing teams. Yeah. None of them have done what Tennessee pulled off yesterday with Coach Barnes. And so congratulations, University of Tennessee. To the Vols. I mean, and they're a great team, Johnny, to watch. Like,
they're great. They play together. They make the extra pass. They're fun to watch. I totally agree. Best defensive team we've ever had.
Well, yeah, they're number 3 in the nation in defensive whatever the stats are.
Efficiency.
The metrics. But also their assist to shot ratio. Mm-hmm. I want to say yesterday it was 19 assists to 21 field goals made.
Yeah.
That's very uncommon.
Right.
Almost every field goal is an assist.
I want that preach. We need to be assisting each other. Good gosh, don't go guys. ISO out there in the world.
No. We don't need you going one-on-one with the devil.
No. Wait. Or, that really does preach because it's like he sent him out two by two. My mom used to always say that. Mm-hmm. Jesus used the buddy system. She would say that because I didn't want to go to the mall with my brother. I'd be like, I just want to go.
Like, Mom, I think you're proof texting.
No, Jesus used the buddy system.
And he did.
So, and you need to hold hands. I'd be like, we're 15, Mom.
But when she sent you, did she tell you to go do miracles and shake the dust off your feet if they don't accept you? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't remember.
I would have brought that up.
I remember I did do miracles. But
and you came
most
back,
of them involved producing a gigantic corn dog.
Right. You came back
after
to your
I
mom
had given them.
With a Z Cavarici bag,
oh, yeah.
And you were like, you should have seen it, Mom. Even the rayon was obedient to us in Jesus' name, or whatever. And it's a weird story. So
anyway, all that said, we're excited about the Vols. John is upset about their seating. I kind of saw it coming because it's a TV show. They're going to choose the prettier. They're going to choose UK and Duke over us because it just is going to be better for fans.
See, I think the difference between me and you is
they have the resume over the course of the last 10 years.
This is a truth about me that's a yes. problem and uh-huh. it can be a strength. Yeah. Mostly a problem is that I am completely overwhelmed
uh-huh.
and unable to let go of major systemic changes that are needed in a way of thinking. Or
okay,
the way something's structured.
So these systemic changes that you would want to see would put the Balls at, what, a one seed?
No, a two.
You don't think we deserve a one after winning the SEC championship?
Wow, see, Lordy. I think that it would have been hard to knock any of the other one seeds out.
Yeah.
Okay? A two.
I will say that our friend Larry, who is a Kentucky fan, uh-huh. rabid Kentucky fan, made this lamp for us. He was texting me uh-huh. after the win. Great win. This is a great team. And then when the seeding happened, he said, Vol Twitter is unusually salty tonight. He goes, but we probably deserve it.
Because Kentucky got a two.
Kentucky
everybody.
Got a two.
And here's the thing. Kentucky,
even though we beat them two out of three times.
We beat them two out of three times.
Yeah.
We had zero quad 2-4 losses and like seven quad 1 wins or 11. How many
I don't even
it?
Know what the quads are. No, but don't explain that.
It means
nobody
the quality of team that you beat or lose to. So
just say that. Strength of schedule.
Your strength of schedule was 4.
Uh-huh.
And Duke, who's a 2 seed, their strength of schedule is like 20.
I tore my quad 1 yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, getting out of bed too soon. Yeah, I slept wrong.
Still on the floor in the mattress?
No, we're up. We're up a little bit high, but it's not as high as the other bed. We bought a platform.
Okay.
But he won't climb into it. We have the little steps. He gets up in it, Toby. Yeah. We built the steps. We went to the farmer's co-op. Near us, what was it called? Tractor Supply. And then we saw this thing, and it's steps that are plastic to get onto a horse.
Okay.
So humans use it to get up high enough to get onto the horse.
Yeah.
So I was like, this would be perfect. We don't have to build a set of steps. So we bought
that. And you could use them too.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, get into the cabinet, whatever. And so we put it up against the bed, and he gets in the bed like for a few seconds every night, and then he just goes, and then he gets in the floor.
Wow.
But it's for us. It's enough for us, I guess. But anyway, all that said, we're a little higher than we were. We're not on the floor. So I don't have to, like I'm climbing out of a well. But
not pulling your quad.
No, not pulling the quad.
Yeah.
Just the quad two.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the Vols.
Well, I'm just going to say is that on every metric,
uh-huh.
every metric, our numbers are twice as good as Duke.
I don't know if twice as good. I agree with you.
No, I looked at the numbers. I'm telling you.
I agree with you that we deserve more respect than we got.
The problem
but
is
these kids can use this.
The problem
this
is
this is how you coach.
Here's the systemic issue with what you said.
Yeah.
You said that Duke deserves this more for the last 10 years or whatever. What does that have to do? See, this is where it's a problem.
It is. It's more than
just
stats,
because
though.
It's Coach
the committee
K's
in the room.
Last season,
right.
And it's
that's
this,
part
it's
of it.
This blue blood team, and suddenly
right. They want to see Coach K make the Final Four.
Like, could you imagine year. If we judged games like that? If we're like, you know,
but there are a lot of judgment calls in games.
You know,
too.
Technically, Tennessee scored more points, but you know what? Duke's been really good the last 10 years. We're going to go ahead and award the win to Duke. That's basically what they just did, because seeding really, really matters. Like your path to the if there's a path to the final, it's almost like elections. Like you may not think that Rhode Island or Delaware or whatever that those little states matter, but there's a formula, And it really does. That's why they call them swing states. They may have a very few number of electoral votes, but it's a huge number when compared to everything else. The path, like Kentucky has the easiest path right now to the Final Four, most people think. And they didn't even win the SEC. They didn't win the regular season or the tournament game.
So you think this is a corrupt, fraudulent process?
I'm saying I don't understand it, and I want someone on the committee to come on the podcast.
You're the Mike Lindell of
I am not the Mike Lindell. I will say
that he has really comfortable pillows.
My wife is searching right now for alternative My Pillows.
Oh, wow. Is there a...
I was like, what are they, our pillows?
Is there like a progressive... Is there like a more progressive...
I don't know.
It's a more centrist pillow?
Because they don't last forever, and no. I'm going to need one. I have sleep issues. I didn't sleep at all last night.
You say pillows don't last forever. I've got pillows that need desperately to be retired. They are flat. They are...
Yeah.
They're not good. And then when you take the case off them, you're like, are we producing syrup out of our mouths at night? What is happening to these pillows?
Speaking of, do you... I only wear a dress shirt.
Was I murdered in my sleep? This is not a stain I am comfortable having on a pillow.
Do you get the stains around your collar and your dress shirts, like your white dress shirts?
John, I don't wear white dress shirts.
I don't either. Like once or twice a year for a funeral or a wedding now do I wear a dress shirt. And the other day for the cruise, I take out the white dress shirt that I haven't worn.
Right around the collar.
It looks as if, again, someone took shoe polish.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what is coming off of me?
Sweat. A lot when you're doing these high-profile events where you're dressed up nice.
But it just
so it
sits
creates
there
like a little stain. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, she had to take OxyClean, and she got it cleaned out, but...
Not a sponsor.
It was, yeah. It worked. Guys.
That guy. He knew what he was talking
and
about.
And you can wash your MyPillow, by the way.
Okay.
And dry it, but I don't think it's ever the same. But honestly, I got to stop supporting insurrection, so we need to find a way to get another pillow. Also, I want to sleep.
We need to make our own company, like a Christian pillow, thy pillow.
Thy pillow. Yes. So
you could reach the same kind of people who would buy My Pillow.
Right.
But they think, oh, this is even more godly. This is thy pillow.
Yeah. Wow. When thou need a good night's sleep.
When thou needest.
Needest, yeah.
When thou needest rest.
We could, yeah, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden.
When you're ready to lay down in green pastures and restore your soul.
Come on.
Reach for thy pillow.
ThyPillow.com. Guys, we're doing it.
Somebody's buying that domain right now.
Yeah, because they want to stop us from making the millions.
They probably should.
I have had multiple million-dollar ideas. We talked about it.
Yeah.
But literally, guys.
Some of them have already happened, though, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. I thought of Memoji.
But you didn't do anything to make
it. No. I tried.
Okay.
I met with an app developer.
Yeah.
I met with everyone tech that I could.
Do you think that app developer like took your idea and then
I don't know. All I know is Apple. Now it has Memoji, and someone's making $1 billion.
And you'd see those invention sites, they'd be like, you got an invention? Send your idea to us, and this we'll send you an envelope, and you mail it to us.
Right.
And then we'll take your idea, and I'd be like,
yeah, you'll take my idea.
Yeah.
It was like that time that guy in Knoxville was like, hey, can you write all your song lyrics on this letterhead? And I was like, does that mean that I'm publishing my songs with you? He was like, well.
He's like, why do people always ask me that? He was like, he got irritated with you when you wouldn't do it.
He was like, yeah, but. I was like, I'm not doing that. And I didn't, Johnny. And you know what those songs have done.
You shook his hand. It burned.
And I stand by the results of my long, illustrious songwriting
career. You didn't sell out.
Nope.
And our shows didn't either. We could not get people to come listen to our music.
No songs and did not sell my soul. In keeping my soul, also, I kept a sense of poverty.
But don't you feel better in that poverty? Don't you feel like a sense of superiority?
Over
other poor people?
It's weird. I feel nothing. So, you know, my favorite lines in The Office, Sadie is watching The Office of the Night. It's when he's in Michael Scott Paper Company. And, okay, what was the boss that came in during that time? He's the British actor.
Oh,
what was his character name? Charles.
Okay.
Remember Charles?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Charles.
Idris Elba.
Thank you. Gesundheit. I don't know. What did you say?
Idris Elba. He's like
Oh, that's his name. Okay.
Yeah, that's his name.
And so he came in and he goes, Michael, I want you to leave the employees alone. You know, stop coming into the office and talking to them. Do you understand? And he looks at him and he goes, I understand nothing. That's my new go-to line right now. So
that's good.
Yeah. Laura goes, hey, do you understand? I'm like, I understand nothing. Which is
Can you declare bankruptcy and then storm out?
Gosh, it's so good. Sadie asked me, do you think that's Steve Carell's most famous character? I was like, oh, by far.
Yeah. It's amazing that he was able to escape it, honestly.
Yeah.
To go on to do other things.
Yeah.
Because, like, he has done so many other cool things And, you know, he's done the Despicable Me movies and he's yeah. done the other things, but it's like he was able to get out from under the shadow of that. And that's really, I think he got out in the nick of time. I think he knew.
Have you watched Space Force?
I've seen season one. I'm not seeing season two. Season one was just okay. Season two.
Yeah, it's just.
I'll give it another chance.
It's just okay.
Yeah.
I watched one episode of season two and it's just okay.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because like the whole idea was kind of making fun of the idea of a Space Force. And now I think, has it become more important? I don't know. Like people acting like, no, Space Force is like legit.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea of like satirizing it was like, what kind of stupid person would focus on this, that we need a military force in space? And now we're like, no, I don't, you don't know. You don't know what we know. Maybe right. That's the truth. Is what if there are things like the government's like, no, just trust us on this. We need a space force.
What if we don't know what we don't know?
Wow.
Come on now. And the funny thing is that show For All Mankind that came out at the same time, which is an actual drama.
That always happens in Hollywood. You know, there'll be like two very similar things.
Yeah.
Like Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Deep Impact.
Then you had the two Volcano movies, Dante's Peak and Volcano.
You had the two Wyatt Earp movies.
Yep. Wyatt Earp and Tombstone.
Which I don't think I ever watched Wyatt Earp.
Is 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Is it Kevin Costner? He was in that period of like, you know what? And now, if you notice, this bothers me. Mm. Every movie feels like it needs to be 3 hours now. Mm. Like, I went and saw this movie with Channing Tatum where he's got to take a dog that's like being retired from the military. You know, it's really like heartwarming. It was like 1 hour 40 minutes. And I was like, this is a movie. Yeah. You remember when a movie was like 1 hour 40, you had your day left?
Yeah.
Now it's like everything has to be an epic. You're like, every movie I watch now, including like the new Batman, which I liked, but I was like, it's 30 minutes too long.
Wow.
I liked it and it's too much. It's like when you eat ice cream and you're like, I'm going to finish this, but this is not good for me. You know, I should have stopped. I shouldn't have put this much in the bowl.
Yeah.
They put too much ice cream in the bowl.
But unlike an ice cream, you could just stop eating. But the movie, if you just stop watching, you don't know how to end it.
What am I?
You got to, you know. What are you and technically, about? I've never stopped eating on ice cream. On the cruise, Laura's like, I had the plate and then I'd be eating. Because, you know, you get all these different course options.
Yeah.
So, of course, Sadie doesn't eat much. I was like, well, I got to try that. I mean, I'm here. This is all paid for, you know. So I end up eating off of everyone's course. And she's like, you know, you don't have to eat all of it. I was like, you don't understand me at all.
Yeah.
Like, how many years do I have to be married before you, like, don't eat at all? Like, I'm the captain of the clean plate.
Remember
club.
The cones, the ice cream cones used to be called Eat It All. That was the brand name on the cone. It was like stamped
on it. My
goodness.
They started the movement.
It was like, it's subliminal messaging for kids. There's like, you're eating the cone, you look down, you're eating the ice cream, eat it all. It's like, it sticks in your head. Clean plate club.
Yeah.
That was the thing when we were kids.
Yeah.
Clean Plate Club.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. Bro.
Also known as diabetics.
Man, if I could stop
Missing
eating.
Foot Club. That's, come on, man. We're teaching. Yeah, we are. We do. We teach kids to, like, you know, you get a little reward if you. And I get it because some kids, like, they won't eat when they're little kids. They're finicky and they take two more bites, buddy. I've seen that move.
Yeah.
They want to eat gummy bears. You eat two more bites of your peas and you can have one gummy bear.
Right.
And that's, you know, you do a little
trade-off.
You're
teaching them, if you overeat, you can have dessert.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, but I'm full. No, you shove more of this food in, and then I'll give you treats.
And then you can shove more food in that's even worse for you.
Yeah. I don't think we've proven that gummy bears are bad.
Have we proven that they're good?
No.
What have we proven at all?
I think they're inert.
I haven't read any recent studies on gummy bears.
I think they're inert. You know, it's just like the internet, John.
Mm.
It's not good or bad.
No.
It's a tool in the hands.
Of an angry population. Yeah, it was great having you here Sunday.
It was great to be here. What a great service.
I thought it was a great service.
I did too.
I mean,
my favorite ones that I've ever been to at this church.
Man, well, number one, our new worship director got to co-lead. They're not technically here yet. She's unbelievable, Abby. And man,
she was fantastic. I thought she sounded like Miley Cyrus. I told our group that at lunch. I don't know if anybody else heard it, but I heard Miley Cyrus in there.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, she is a great piano player.
Yeah.
She was playing in B.
I don't know what that means. What is that? Is that a tip of difficult?
In B, I mean, again, all the piano players who are really piano players are listening like, oh, it's easy. But, like, if I'm going to play a song in B, and I do a lot of songs in B right now, mm-hmm. I'm going to transpose that keyboard or put a capo on my guitar. Like, you wouldn't play in B without capo, would you?
No. Not on guitar.
You'd play lead or whatever, but you wouldn't, like, if you were trying to carry all the chords.
The chords are not as fun.
especially if it's like a hymn, because we did that one, that Shane and Shane song, that My Portion. It has a chord over every word because it's a modern hymn, you know? Mm. And so, dude, she was a pro. She was great.
She was really great.
So kind and did a great job.
They're sweet people. I've not met her husband yet, Jake, who's the new youth pastor.
Yeah. They met with the kids last night. So they're transitioning right now out of where they are. So it won't be till April till they're official all the way. But they're here at staff meetings and we're doing some events with the kids and stuff. And she's going to lead some here and there just to kind of get used to the band and what we're doing. But that was great. And then yesterday we talked about, obviously, just the tragedy in the Ukraine and gave options. One of those I'm very close to, and I'd like to tell our listeners
about. Yeah, talked about some charities to help with, yeah.
Yeah, Crisis Aid, guys. If you haven't, I posted on my Instagram. You can go check it out. Crisis Aid is an amazing organization. I wrote a book for their founder that comes out sometime this year. We're not sure when. But I am not lying when I say that some of the stories I wrote, his name is Pat Bradley, and you should follow Crisis Aid on Instagram. I'm not sure I've ever written stories like this in all the books I've done. Like for the last 30 years or so, when there is something that goes wrong, natural disaster or a humanitarian crisis, like Crisis Aid is one of the first on the ground at the point where people in the greatest need, at the greatest point of danger. So the tsunami, the earthquake in Haiti, like, and then after 9/11, the dude's just an ad agency guy. Like, he's not a professional. He's not a pastor or anything. It's like just someone that passionate that God moved in his heart to refuse to do nothing. That's one of his things. I'm just going to refuse to do nothing about this. The dude hopped a plane because where the book opens. He's in Pakistan. And he finds himself driving through, you know, as all these refugees are fleeing because America is bombing Afghanistan. And he's taking relief supplies to a camp where people are out exposed in the cold. They're having to dig holes to try to get out of the cold. That's all they can do. All of a sudden, he's in Pakistan and these trucks pull up. And these dudes get out with AK-47s and surround him and his partner. I mean, he's like, I've gone too far. And he's great. I mean, I'll let you read the book. And he's like, this is it, you know, and he has all the, if he has one of those stories, he has like 70 of them. That's crazy. And they're there and he thinks, well, I'm about to die. And the translator finally talks to them and says, actually, they found out you were coming and they're here to escort you because you won't make it. You won't make it there without them escorting you. The UN was dropping supplies about 2 miles away. They were afraid to go in because it's so dangerous. He went in and spent like, I don't know, a month, 2 months in that camp. And was having, you know, having dinner with their leaders because they're like, you know, you're the only people that will come help us. And so, like, anyway, Crisis Aid is helping right now in the Ukrainian refugee crisis. And so, as well as Convoy of Hope are doing a lot of great things. So check out those organizations, guys. And it's just something we need to be aware of. But we talked about it yesterday, and I thought that was
– Yeah, that was great.
What the church should be doing, you know?
Yeah, man. It was really cool. And then I just thought the whole service was good. And then your sermon was like short. I was like, this guy gets it.
It was 20 minutes.
We were at the Mexican restaurant so fast.
Yeah.
Huge table. I mean, what I remember yesterday was from church was the cheese dip was good. That's what.
Best service ever. Well, and so we also did a promo for our recovery.
Well, that's one of the reasons that you had a short sermon because the service was devoted to some of that.
Right. So Jimmy, our friend Jimmy. If you ever watch him or old videos, he was Clog the Bounty Plumber.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And so he's got a huge flowing, would you call it a mullet? When he goes down to your butt, though.
It's
like
a mullet.
It's down, you know, it's a big, like, heavy metal guy. And he gave his story yesterday. It was just unreal.
It was really great.
Just unreal. And so we promoted that. But then we knew either I had to scrap. Then we did a Bible Project video.
Yeah, you can't come off of that. And first of all, it's tough to follow.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy got like a standing O.
Oh, it was great.
And then it was just a very deeply moving testimony. And then come off of that, there's a great video that you guys showed about, what was it? I mean, basically
justice.
It was about equity and justice. Yeah. And so, what the Bible says about justice. And so then you come off of that, and I was like, if John comes out here and does a 45-minute sermon
about
this, I can't stay at this church. I love John. I'll keep doing the podcast, but we're going to move on.
Well, I'd already prepped it before I left, you know, and Andrew and I had a lot of conversations when I got home. We could either push justice another week because he'd read the notes.
Bro, won't
that preach?
We have been doing that for
– Oh, my goodness. You know, and I said, look, this is actually a good exercise for me lately because I did this the other day. Remember that 12-minute, 47-second sermon for Acts 2, 42-47? And it's actually really good for me.
Yeah.
So – because I do tend –
Here's what I do. If I know I've got like a 7-minute set to do and Sometimes I'll write out like, okay, here's the jokes I want to do. And then I won't even look at it to go like, is this 7 minutes of jokes? And I'll have like 14 minutes of jokes on that page. Uh-huh. And then I'll start speaking faster. Do you ever find yourself doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes when I get nervous, I'll speed up. And I'm already kind of a rapid fire comic anyway. Yeah. And so it's not good. But I just wonder if you're in a position like that where you go, I need to keep this at 20 minutes. We need to be succinct here. If you go, but I got 40 minutes of content. Get ready. I'm fire hosing this.
I've done it plenty of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just drown them in it. So I tried. I decided, like, I'm not going to tell a bunch of stories in between.
Oh, I thought it was great.
I'm just going to do it. And the thing is, without the video, I would have been less comfortable.
You left us wanting more, John.
I don't know if we did or not. I don't think I've ever left anybody wanting more.
I was like, oh, we're done here. Okay.
It was 20 minutes, and that was my goal. I was like, I'm going for 20.
Yeah.
And I was praying at 20. So I'm not going to count the prayer. It was like 20:45 or whatever when I finished. I mean, all you people with legalism out there. But but no, it was – but I think you have that – guys, if you haven't watched the Bible Project videos –
oh, that was one of the best ones I've ever seen.
Oh, the way they did the almost cardboard box-looking planes being pushed up and down. There's talking about basically societal –
privilege, and even if it's unintended or your direct fault, but it's like you're benefiting from it.
Yeah, you're oppressing the vulnerable. It's kind of the way it's the downstream of the fall of man is oppressing those, especially the vulnerable.
And even people who were oppressed then go on to oppress others.
Right. It kind of leaves, I mean, it gave a great picture of how it works on an individual and a societal level, and then also how we're all a part of it.
Yeah. You know? We need to link that video in the notes. I'll link it when I put the intro out.
Yeah, so great. But, you know, that video makes it where I'm comfortable to not have to say everything I want to say. You know,
no, it's great. And I think more churches need to use that. Because I think we got into a time in churches where it became all about programming, you know, and it was like basically just prepackaged.
Yeah.
And then you got into a backlash against that where it's like, I'm not using any content except for like what I got, you know, from directly from the manna from heaven.
Yeah.
And then you just have a guy talking for 45 minutes with no help.
Yeah.
That got real stale. So I think you got to have a balance.
You do. And
but I agree with you about a video saying some things. I think that's one of the reasons I'm brought in sometimes to talk to churches is I can be funny, but I can also hit a couple of issues that the pastor wishes he could.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can say it in a funny way.
Mm-hmm.
But a pastor, I've had pastors say it to me. I'm really glad that you said this one thing. You know, I'll be like, oh, that's just a thing I've been doing for years. And they go, yeah, but I can't say that here.
Bro, Reggie and I did a video for a church. I need to go find it. I think they've used it. It was going to be their Sunday morning. It was like a I don't know, 40-minute interview they did with us, or video, Zoom. And he kept asking me questions.
Mm-hmm.
Normally on those, I'll, you know, we know what we're going to talk about, you know. And, man, he started down some of the lines, and it was a white church, you know, some of the lines of how this is hitting people ideologically on the political spectrum. And I read a very fascinating, I was reading a book, and it talked about the fact that there was a prediction by someone, a theologian or social scientist or someone, that a post-Christian society, and so what we mean by post-Christian is, it's not without Christian values.
Yeah.
It means it once held to Christian values or at least stated that that's what it was. And then you come to a place where now we no longer say we need Christ, but we still hold to some of the Christian ethics and morals, but we define them for ourselves. But we know there's a line.
Right.
But everyone's line's at a different place.
It's like a God of Rome making.
Right.
Yeah.
But it comes out of the fact that society used to, you know, try to have a line that
there's like echoes of it.
And I'm not one of those people that thinks everything in our past was some like Christian utopia. I think that's a complete rewrite of history.
Right.
I do think that there was an acknowledgement of God or Jesus's ways that wasn't always lived, but was seen as a line.
Mm-hmm.
And they missed that line a lot. I mean, they did that at the same time that, you know, they were oppressing black and brown people with no conscience within of that being something that would go against God's ways. Certainly the secret sins, the idea that you hide your sin that you look the part. I mean, that's not at all a Christian value. But the post-Christian, the prediction was once people still try to cling to some level of morality as they define it. And again, the greatest sin right now is judging another.
Yeah.
Like that's where most of the line is. How dare you? I get to choose. This is my authentic self.
Right.
And now the new value system is
they'll condemn you for being judgmental.
Right. The new line is no longer to become something because a higher power is helping you move forward to it. Yeah. So by denying certain parts of your the term scripturally be flesh, but certain parts of that sort of animalistic part of you, mm-hmm. that has just reactions, you know, like my dog sees a rabbit and doesn't go, I wonder how that rabbit's day was. Maybe I shouldn't chase him. Like he's just
right.
going to chase. But a human, we see something in life, whether it's, you know, a person of another, you know, of the opposite gender that we're attracted to, whether we see something in traffic that we can be angry to, like we have a moment to go, I can empathize. I can know,
right.
hey, that's a human, or that's a person having a bad day, or like, so we get to reason. And the whole point of that is how we reason now has changed to the new value is my goal in life is not to become someone different than I am by outside, help and through community. My goal is to be my authentic self.
Right. Self-actualization.
Right. That's the new sort of goal. Become your authentic self. And it is a sin. Now back to the morality. It is considered almost a sin in this culture that we use that word to deny someone or to speak out to say, maybe I don't want to become authentic self, or maybe the authentic self you're becoming is right. not the best goal for you.
Right. I want to rise above that. They're like, why? You're right. not being yourself.
Yeah. Be true to yourself. Most fascinating thing is the expression, the heart wants what it wants.
Uh-huh.
Do you know where it came from? Woody Allen.
I remember he said that. I was going to say Woody Allen because I remember he said it after the Sun Yi thing.
Yep. Literally, even today, the fact that he married his stepdaughter, was having a sexual affair with his stepdaughter when she was way underage,
right.
eventually married her. Even today, most people have a line. They go, wow, he crossed something there. It's uncomfortable. And in one of the interviews, he said, well, you know, the heart wants what it wants. And somehow, out of that thing that most people I know would still
were grossed out by.
Right. Somehow that became a mantra.
It's crept in now where it's a good thing now to say.
Yeah.
Well, the heart wants what it wants.
Yeah. It's like osmosis into society. And we all go, well, yeah, that's the standard of how we evaluate how we're going to live.
I don't
and it came from something that most of us would still reject. And so you get into this idea of the post-Christian prediction was once that goes downstream, what will emerge is a religion of politics. That's literally what they said.
Right.
It will be a religion of politics because Christianity historically is marked by the way that you treat your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So we've removed that part of the Christian morality. So now we can say how you speak, how you vote, how you care about certain subsets of people but not others. And a lot of those things are good. They're a part of morality and even Christian-informed morality. But you remove like the central tenet of it all, which was, I mean, honestly, how we care in community for one another and the way that we treat one another is what the world will see.
Yeah.
And specifically those who disagree with us or want to harm us, we're supposed to serve them. In fact, and we're not supposed to be if you're the greatest leader, you're supposed to be the first one to serve.
Yeah, it's like we pick and choose. We want to take the grace from the New Testament for ourselves, but we want to go Old Testament on our enemies.
Boom.
You know?
Yeah.
We want to still live out that side of it. No, we have to destroy the Amalekites.
Right.
Or the Democrats.
Right.
Or whatever.
Or whomever.
Whoever the perceived enemy is.
Yep.
They have to be utterly destroyed because they're a threat to us.
Yes.
So we're still like, we're not living completely under the grace mindset if we're...
No.
Yeah.
Well, we believe they need it more than us. They're not taking it.
Right.
So therefore, they've rejected it. And so the new religion, as predicted for a lot of people, and it's still called Christianity often, but it is wrapped up in, and I don't just mean a governmental political stance, but it's political ideological tribes.
Yeah.
Now I identify more.
Well, you're identifying by what you do and what you believe versus what you have received from God. In other words, like, it's like that's the whole thing. Wasn't it Plato versus Aristotle? You are what you continually do versus you are, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you do what you continually are.
Yeah, that kind of a thing. It's like that juxtaposition of their different schools of thought. And but it's so funny because you see people like that are like politically very left, but then I'll see like their Instagram and they'll be like influencers and they're talking about like bettering themselves constantly.
Yeah.
So it's like it's weird. It's like they're in dissonance with each other.
Right. My authentic self.
I got to find my authentic self, but also like I train every day because you can't take a day off because you have to make yourself into this thing that you're not. And it's like, okay, it's interesting. And I think we all have those things. We all have those cognitive dissonances within us, for sure.
Yeah, but American society or Western society in general, I think, is grappling with those tensions, these two things of our history informing us, even if we reject it, it still informs for us a methodology, like you said, of self-improvement that we also deny or that we only take in silos.
Yeah,
I will improve myself physically. I will not tolerate a bad relationship. It's not worth working on.
If you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Right.
So even though that person may be trying to be their authentic self.
Their authentic self. Yeah. You meet people's authentic
self. Well, your authentic self is a jerk, and so I've decided you're not good enough.
You're toxic now. Yeah. Right. And we cut you out.
Yeah.
When, like, the way of Christ is way more nuanced, and the formation, spiritual formation happens over lifetime.
Yeah.
Not over minutes. It happens over, and that was, it's an amazing book, and I'll talk about it later, but it talks about how we've used the cross now as this, and I do, when we teach, it's like, guys, Jesus went to the cross so that you don't have to, and that is true for eternity, but scripturally, Jesus went to the cross for us on earth so that we can also go to the cross, just not the literal cross, but he's constantly calling you to a place of a death of one thing so that another thing can live.
Right. Laying down your own wishes and your own desires.
But it's so offensive now to say that there may be instincts or things within me that I need to fight against or reject. No, no, no. It's, I'm telling you, bro, that's the slope. The slope is if I live my life thinking it's repression to deny myself something.
Mm-hmm.
And repression's a greater sin now than oppression.
Right.
It were just as much to people like, no, 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 don't do that. Don't tell someone they shouldn't do what they feel.
Oh, sure. It's like Adele was like this big symbol for people who are heavier because she was this big star and has this great voice. And then she decides to get healthy and lose the weight. And I saw groups like shaming her for getting thin, for taking control of her own health. She was like, I needed to get healthy. And I took a year and just like during the pandemic and just like ate right and did this thing and got with a trainer and I lost the weight. And they're like, she blew it.
Right.
Like people were thin shaming her.
Yeah.
It's like, what in the world? Where are we? What are we doing?
Well, and again, it's a, I'm okay with you finding your authentic self until it is offensive to my authentic self.
Yeah. It made me uncomfortable with the choices I'm making maybe or whatever.
Right.
Because I'm not like a figurehead for you now. I'm not your weird puppet for whatever your lifestyle is. It's so strange.
And I know that the legalistic far right or some things that we grew up in has often abused the standards, manipulated them for the gain of power, control, or for the oppression of certain people groups, whether it be women or people of color, and not all with bad intention, but that has been a result of, you know, systems that I've been a part of. So I'm not taking anyone down. I'm saying, hey, we can be honest enough to look at that. But the flip side is what we've done is we've removed a fixed point.
Yeah.
And a fixed point is sort of the key for everything.
Right. We're kind of untethered.
Yeah. You don't know what to tie off to. So you're tying off to whatever looks right to you. And it may not be, or it's not. So a fixed point says, oh, you know, and that's what that justice video did such a great job of yesterday. It's like, if you're a panda and you have twins, it is perfectly normal in nature for you to throw one away to care for the other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a human and you do that, someone's going to consider that unjust or wrong or right and wrong. And why is it that regardless of your religious culture, and there are exceptions I know in the world, in extreme cultures over time, you know, that have kind of redefined some codes or ethics according to a morality that over time made sense. But for most across the board, regardless of the religious proclivities, there is a sense of right and wrong. Like almost in all cultures, stealing and murder are going to be considered wrong.
Well, I'm a twin, so I'm glad that my mom was not a panda.
Wow.
I may just say that.
Well, because you think you'd have been the one thrown away.
I got a bad feeling. I would not have made it. I was not the cute baby.
And you know what, listener? We are so glad that you made it this far.
Even though it's a fallen world in which someone can give Tennessee a 3 seed and say to themselves, the bracket wants what it wants. We hope that you won't fall into that thinking. That you'll root the Vols. By the time this airs, the Vols will have hopefully made it through the first weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
So we could be talking about this, and they're like, God, the Vols lost.
We're going to face Villanova in the second round, probably. Now, how can you be a high seed and face Villanova in the second round? We should be facing Wright State, you know.
How dare you besmirch Wright State?
Also, it looks as if Loyola may be in the same – we could meet Loyola again.
Sister Jean's
somewhere.
Still hanging around?
I mean, they killed –
did she pass away, Sister
no,
Jean?
No, she's still around, pretty certain.
Wow, she's still kicking.
Pretty certain. Don't quote me on that. But I think she is. So
rest in power, Sister Jean.
Yeah, and you know, again, they destroy, they ruin. They we always meet the Cinderella, yeah, Johnny. Now, what is that about?
Yeah, but the story becomes the team that we're playing.
Right.
Wichita State did it to us 1 year.
Yeah,
yeah, it's happened a few times. It's not going to happen. When this airs, we're going to be through the second round or We're going to through the first weekend. We're going to be ready to go
in the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16,
and we'll probably meet.
I speak it.
You know, we're going to
Arizona
in the Elite Eight if we can make it that far. Listen, this needs to be the Final 4 year.
It's going to be great.
It needs to be the Final 4 year.
Guys, check out all of our archive podcasts on talkaboutthatpodcast.com. And the video ones are dropping on YouTube now. And please go subscribe to that channel. We're trying to grow that channel from scratch.
Yeah.
And so, listen, you could be a part of the groundswell, the grassroots movement that is the Talk About That podcast.
Yeah, and those subscriptions really make a difference for us to help grow the podcast.
They help more people find it.
Yeah, we have to diversify the way that we're reaching people. And so you don't have to stop. I mean, subscribe to both. The audio is still important. We had a lot. Our downloads are way up last week.
Yeah.
So thank you guys
for
listening.
Listen.
If you hear something you like, send it to some friends. You know what? And I want to ask the listeners, especially the patrons and those who listen every week, do us a favor. When you hear something right now, whether it be funny or whether it be, you know, some engagement of our conversation intellectually or spiritually, that really makes a difference to you and you see like, man, that minute was something I want people to hear, hey, send us an email at talkaboutthatpodcast.com and let us know sort of that timestamp. Like when you guys talked about X at 24:30 or whatever, and we would love for you to help us choose the content that goes out.
We don't know what's good, you guys. Right.
It's all good to us.
We got nothing.
Or it's all bad to us. We're probably more likely to be the people who listen to it and go, this is.
We are so grateful for you, our loyal viewers and listeners.
You sounded like the aliens on You Are Our Last Hope.
You are our last hope.
We are so grateful. That was Galaxy Quest. Sorry.
Yeah, it was more of an NPR, like, thank you for listening.
And
have some soup maybe today.
Yeah, don't forget to be kind to one another. Wash your hands.
Be kind to yourselves and each other.
And each other. Yep. It's so good. And don't forget free potholders at our website. We don't have any potholders.
No.
So, but we serve a piping hot podcast.
One meal a week. That's all you need. It's intermittent.
Yeah.
It's very intermittent.
We're an intermittent fasting
Please
schedule.
Eat more than once a week.
Of release. You should check out Johnny, though. Like I said, he's about to record a new Dry Bar special, but you can watch his old Dry Bar special at Dry Bar. com.
Yeah. And on the app and all that good stuff.
If you guys don't know, it was top 10 last year.
I think you said that earlier.
It's a big deal.
John, it's so good. What a great friend you are.
Man, well, I mean, you shouldn't have to say it.
Yeah.
I think that Johnny's metrics speak for themselves, but when they don't, I speak for them.
You think I'm a 2-line and they put me on the 3-line?
I really do believe that. I think you should be a 1-seed. Like,
that's really nice.
I think Johnny W., in fact, I'm not going to tell you, because when it happens, I'm going to tell you afterwards. It's been really cool.
Yeah.
But there's something that me and Sadie pray for you. I'm
just
going to leave it like that.
Look at that.
And then when it happens, I'm going to tell you what it is.
Did Sadie pray that a sea lion would fart in my face?
I think that could have been her dream. Like, that could have been what revealed Jesus to her. Was like, he listens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It made her day. Out of all the things I paid for, it did. A sea lion farting in my face is
you
what
You can't. These
she'll
are experiences, of course.
From the trip. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So. You can also check me out on Instagram. My link tree is there, and it'll have all the stuff. There's a lot of new interviews out right now. If you miss my Jen Hatmaker,
John's been making the rounds on the podcast world.
Man, it's been some really cool people we've met.
Hey, don't forget who dance with the one who I don't know the
well,
name.
I'm not. I don't dance.
The heart wants what? No.
The heart dances with the panda.
Yeah.
That it wants. So yeah, check out all those interviews, especially you know Dadville. Which, if you like Dadville, our episode last week, go check out my interview on Dadville. It's there in my link tree. It'd be a great podcast for you to subscribe to as well after you've subscribed to Talk About
That. Do ours
first.
Right, okay.
And then if you want to support, you can go to our Patreon account.
Link there at talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. A big thanks to our producer in studio right now, who may not always be in here, but Jeffrey Holland. Also, you can check him out if you wanted to have some travel agency. Your greatest travel needs are met. With Jeffrey Holland, Travelmation. And they would go to travelagentjeffrey.com.
Wow.
Just check it out. Huh?
At
At Travel Agent Jeffrey.
Or at Travel Agent Jeffrey.
Man, he got in there, he got those domains.
He did. That'll be the highest. Watch, that'll be the highest thing that gets.
That'll be the thing, the bump, because everybody's wanting to go to Disney right now.
Jeffrey's the one seed now. So
Jeffrey's the Disney specialist. He can take care of your family.
Oh, let me tell you, the man knows.
You want to meet Snow White? You want to meet Mickey? You want to meet Minnie?
Not the characters, the real ones.
Yeah,
Jeffrey is an illusionist.
Yeah, and he can get you into the secret world.
That's right. Guys, thank you so much for spending the time with us again this week, and we'll see you next week on Talk About That.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
We're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in an everyday settings.
To learn more and subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.